This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. Oh, you're a hard one, but I know that you got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you can hurt you somehow. Don't you draw the queen a diamond?
Hi, and welcome to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. My name is Kerry and I'm an alcoholic. The purpose of the show is to increase public awareness of Alcoholics Anonymous as an effective means of recovery from the disease of alcoholism. Our show has two parts. First, we'll talk a bit about alcoholism, what it is and what AA can do to help. And then we'll interview a recovering alcoholic who is an active member of AA. I'm now going to ask our guest to read the AA preamble, which is read at the start of every AA meeting.
Hi everyone, my name's Rachel and I'm an alcoholic. AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
So what is alcoholism? Alcoholism is a disease, not a disgrace. There's no shame in having an illness or a disease. An unusual feature of this disease is that it will do whatever it can to convince you that you do not have it. However, once it has a hold of you, the progression of symptoms is like the classic disease model and the victim is as helpless as a sufferer of cancer. If you are an alcoholic, you are at the beginning of a long road that usually ends in one of three places: prisons, institutions or death. If you think this sounds dramatic, we can assure you that our collective experience has shown this to be true. The challenge is to convince the alcoholic to admit that they need help and become willing to seek it. Denial is a major symptom of alcoholism. The alcoholic is often the last one to recognise it and admit that they have it. Our definition of alcoholism is that it is an allergy of the body coupled with an obsession of the mind. The allergy is the physical aspect of the disease. After having the first drink, the phenomenon of craving develops and we lose control over when we will stop drinking. The old saying is one is too many and a thousand is never enough. And yet, because of the obsession of the mind, the mental aspect of the disease, the alcoholic is compelled to keep picking up the first drink. This makes us powerless. We often hear from sober alcoholics that many doubted whether life could be fun without alcohol. Fortunately, those same people report that their lives have improved dramatically since they became sober. The 12-step program of recovery, which is discussed at meetings and which is outlined in the Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book, is how we get sober and maintain our sobriety one day at a time. This program has a proven track record of helping otherwise hopeless alcoholics to achieve long-term sobriety and recovery. It has taught us how to enjoy life sober. Okay, for anyone who has just joined us, you're listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. We're just about to interview an AA member who is going to share their experience with alcoholism. So let's meet our guest. Would our guests like to introduce themselves and give us a quick sketch of who you are?
Yeah, thanks, Kerry. My name's Rachel and I'm an alcoholic.
And how old are you, Rachel?
I'm 41 years old.
Oh, so young.
Yeah.
How long have you been sober?
About 7.5 years now.
Oh, very good. Occupation?
I work in hospitality.
Fantastic. So. Are you married? Do you have any kids?
No, I'm single.
Are you happy
and
single?
I'm quite happy being single at the moment.
Fabulous. Where are you from?
I'm from Christchurch, born and bred.
Yep. And you grew up here?
I grew up here.
And how was your childhood?
My childhood, I grew up in alcoholism, in a kind of a violent alcoholic home,
right.
But also very loving.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so there are moments of up and down.
Yes. Well, that's how it is. It's traumatic and comic at the same time, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. So when did you start drinking?
Gosh, I started drinking. I remember the first time I got drunk was at 13.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely, you know, I had drank before then. My, you know, there was obviously a constant supply in the house, so you know, I'd sneak the odd bit here and there. But
were you,
13.
Were you ever given it wandering around when you were little?
Not to a huge, yeah. I'd sip on Dad's beer, or I might be allowed a little bit of sherry with my auntie's Sunday roast,
mm-hmm.
or a bit of Bailey's Irish cream when my mum got it at Christmas, but not to a huge degree.
But it really started by yourself at 13?
At 13, I discovered my love.
So what did it do for you?
It gave me ease and comfort,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it gave me, I was quite shy. Found it difficult to socialise, you know, and lots of things really. And it gave me an ability to step forward and have a personality, is the way I sort of put it, you know, and not so shy.
Yes. And how did it progress?
It's funny, yeah, it very quickly, for a short period of time, you know, went to parties as usual, you know, at that age, still stealing drink from the liquor cabinet at home quite sneakily. I would mix gin with water just in an everyday situation at about the age of 13, 14 in my bedroom. And just sip on it. But then in the weekends, I'd look forward to the wild parties and getting absolutely obliterated,
mm-hmm.
Behind my parents' back.
So how did you drink? Did you drink socially or alone? Were you a binge drinker?
Both, really. Both. I seem to be able to moderate my drinking to a certain degree. And then, but when I had free rein, I would binge drink.
Did you ever become a daily drinker?
Absolutely. I became a daily drinker near the end of my drinking.
Mm-hmm.
It was not necessarily always in the morning or always at work. Sometimes in the morning, sometimes at work, but every single day, without a shadow of a doubt, I'd drink myself to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever feel it was a problem? Did you ever try to stop during that period?
I did try and stop. I was fully aware of alcoholism, obviously having witnessed it. Didn't equate myself as an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
Knew that I drank more than what other people, that I wanted other people to know that I drank, very secretively. So yes and no. I did try and stop a few times, but didn't really have the inclination.
Exactly. Well, you don't when it's working.
Yeah.
So what made you realise that you needed help? What was your rock bottom like? Did you lose jobs? Did you have any trouble with the law? Or with family and friends?
No, I was a pretty, family and friends, definitely.
Yeah.
I was a pretty highly functioning alcoholic, as I hear it put in the rooms.
Yes.
I still went to work same time every day, suffered through a day at work, and then couldn't wait to finish to drink. I was in a relationship with another alcoholic who wasn't drinking but not going to meetings,
mm-hmm.
a little bit crazy,
yep.
between the two of us, and I was just in the pits of despair all the time. I was apathetic about life, feeling suicidal. I was self-harming. I was just really, really, and I had distanced myself from, I was living in Ireland, I forgot to mention. I'd done a big geographical.
That's a great place to drink.
Yep. Ran away from my life in New Zealand and all my problems and yep. under the guise of travelling. And that's when my drinking took off.
Yep.
And so I just isolated myself, really, and didn't keep in good contact with my family. So that's the point I was at, really.
So how is it in Ireland drinking?
Oh, you know, sure, it was grand. It's plentiful. It was a good place to hide my drinking because everyone drank.
Mm-hmm.
Very much ingrained in the culture.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just added to the denial.
Yeah. So how did you find your way to your first AA meeting? And what was that like?
Yeah, it was, I was, like I described, in the pits of despair. And my partner at the time suggested that I might want to go to a treatment centre or that I try a meeting.
So it was being recognised by others?
It was being recognised, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mostly by her, actually. And so I went to another fellowship, sister fellowship, and then I went to another sister fellowship for food addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Then I found my way to AA because mm-hmm. it worsened when I realised. And my first meeting, I just remember sitting in the corner, head down, really not wanting to be there, but really wanting to be there too. Didn't know what it was about, just found myself there.
Did you feel welcomed?
I did. I remember people shaking my hand. But to be honest, I didn't want to look anyone in the eye. So I just, people left me alone.
Wait, was it your first meeting in Ireland? Or
yes, yeah.
Yes, it was in Ireland?
Yeah, it was in Ireland, yeah.
They've got a very strong fellowship over there.
They do have a very strong fellowship over there.
Obviously.
Yeah, yeah. They, they're plentiful. Yeah, they were very welcoming.
Yeah.
And they left me alone when I wanted to be left alone.
Did the rehab or the recovery facility tell you about AA? Is that where you heard about it?
No, I didn't. I didn't go into rehab or no. It was suggested to me and I didn't. I used to fantasise about it, funnily enough,
mm-hmm.
because I didn't know how to stop myself. But I remember I used to ring AA drunk, the AA hotline, and would always get the answer machine and hang up and then wake up in the morning and find the phone book on my floor and I've done it again.
Yep.
So I was wanting help.
Yes. I've had phone calls like that.
Yeah.
So how have you managed to stay sober? What's the process of recovery been like for you?
It's been a slow process of recovery.
Mm-hmm.
I relapsed a number of times in my first maybe 6 or 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
In Ireland, and got to the place I needed to get to in order to want this thing badly enough, you know.
Yep.
And since that day, since I got myself a sponsor and started working, she suggested I started working steps, and opened up to somebody for the first time in my life, because
mm-hmm.
I was very fiercely independent,
mm-hmm.
can still be. Things started changing for me then, and it's been a slow process, slowly unfolding and lots of learning, but gosh, it's been amazing.
How do you cope with difficulties in recovery?
With difficulties? So I have my sponsor. Mm-hmm. I still have the same sponsor today, and she lives in Ireland. Yes.
So how does that work?
Yes, she's in Cork. So we connect through Skype or, the free apps like WhatsApp or Viber. And
yes.
We, because of the time difference, we have to, there's a bit of organisation involved. But it's great because,
So you can actually see each other and talk to each other.
We can see each other.
If you organise it right.
So absolutely. Yep.
Really, there's no excuse. You can have a sponsor anywhere in the world and be able to have conversations.
Yep.
Technology is amazing, isn't it?
It's like having a cup of tea with her in my own living room.
Yep.
And she's able to get me into shape, get me into shape from the other side of the world.
Yep.
It's quite amazing.
How important is a sponsor?
Oh, to me, a sponsor is invaluable. If it wasn't for her, I think she showed me the path. Anyway, for me, she showed me the path, and for me, it was just really important because I had that one-on-one person to talk to. And she knew, and she got to know me. She's, over the years, we've become great friends and we've travelled together. She knows me better than my own mother, and she pulls me up on things. And she's gentle, she's loving, and she gives me a boot up the bum when I need it.
Yep.
Basically.
We all need that sometimes.
Yep.
So how long did it take you to get a sponsor? How long before you approach her? You asked her?
I did ask her, but she approached me first.
Great.
I was relapsing, and I was going from meeting to meeting, and I wasn't really talking to people.
Yeah.
And I shared in a meeting once and she came up to me afterwards and she said to me, I identify with what you're saying. She had a sponsor, or has a sponsor, and she said, this is what my sponsor suggested. Would you like to go for a drive to the beach on Sunday and have a walk? And completely new territory for me. And I just was so desperate, so desperate. And I was losing hope because I couldn't stop drinking. I couldn't stay stopped.
Yes.
And I got that hope again that maybe there's something that she's doing that I'm not doing. And that's how it was. So the poor woman listened to me rant in her ear for a couple of hours, mm-hmm. walking along the beach. New thing for me to do. And I asked her, she suggested I get a sponsor, and I blurted out in a second, will you be my sponsor? And she said yes, and it's one of the best things I ever did.
And it's the therapeutic value of one alcoholic helping another.
She just...
Which is what they talk about in the big book and, yeah. and what started this movement
with
Bill and Bob.
Yeah, she understood what I was meaning when I was saying things, you know, because I was aware that I was sounding crazy some of the time. And she knew, and she identified, and she told me some of her own stories and how she felt and how things are changing for her. And it just completely opened up my world.
That's fantastic.
Through the steps, the 12 steps of AA, I have come to discover a higher power in my life. And that for me is a really great source of strength. I go to regular meetings. Even when I'm feeling good, I go to meetings and I keep in contact with fellowship.
How important has service been as a part of your recovery?
Oh, it's been massively, massively important for me. It's all about giving back.
Yeah.
Because I obsess about myself all the time. All I think about is me. Mm-hmm. So when I'm not thinking about me and my problems, and I think of other people and help them, you know, it gets me outside of myself. And there's lots of opportunities in AA to give service and to help. And it helped me open up as a person as well, to meet people, become more friendly, get involved.
Yes. How would you describe yourself and the life you have today? What are the changes been, like your inner changes? How do you feel now?
I feel like I'm coming home. Really, I heard it once described that I've been asleep. You know, I was asleep all my life, and I'm starting to wake up. And for the first time in my life, I'm sort of actually partaking in life.
Good for you.
You know,
how has your life changed since becoming sober? Your outer changes, working, family, relationships, friends. How's all that changed since you became sober?
Well, my relationships are so much better. You know, I actually am active in my relationships with people. You know, I make efforts to keep in contact with people. I make efforts to help where I can. I'm more, you know, I have better boundaries. I'm better communication. I'm able to receive love as well as give it, which is something I was never able to do. You know, I'm more approachable, I'm guessing, you know.
So what about hobbies and interests? Is there anything you're passionate about now that you're sober? Is there anything you've taken up?
Do you enjoy doing?
Yeah, I do a lot. Like, I discovered getting sober in the fellowship in Ireland, we had a hill walking group.
Yes.
And it was really great. And so, like, I love nature and I love getting out there. I try my hand at a lot of things, actually, which is new for me. You know, I've taken up guitar, I'm weaving flax at the moment.
Wow.
I'm getting back to drawing and painting like I used to. You know, I'm sort of just coming back to myself a wee bit.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
What are your goals for the future?
My goals for the future? You know, I try not to think too far ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what my goals of the future are. I guess I'm pretty content at the moment. Like, I'm saving for a house.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
saving.
A good goal.
I'd like a little tiny home or some kind of, just for my, and just really just a bit of travel. That's it. I try not to think too far ahead.
Mm-hmm. What would you suggest for any listeners that think they may have a drinking problem? What advice do you wish someone had given you when drinking had become a problem?
It's a funny one because, you know, people probably could have given me advice and until I was ready to listen to it, you know, nothing, I just would have fobbed it off. But don't isolate, you know. It's so easy. Like, it's as an alcoholic, I felt very, very, very lonely, and I tended to cut myself off from people. Mm-hmm. And if you can challenge yourself to just reach out for help, even just to say hi to a stranger and get sort of used to talk to, ring AA, give it a go. You know, they say the door swings both ways. Nobody's going to hold you captive. You can test it, and if you don't like it, you don't have to stay. But just reach out and don't stay isolated.
AA is described as a spiritual program. What does spirituality mean to you? How does it differ from religion?
Oh, it's a very personal thing, spirituality.
Yes.
Religion, I'm not a religious person, so I don't have my spirituality for me is all around me. It centers within me. I do things like a bit of meditation. You know, I talk to whatever it is. I have no image. Call it the universe, whatever you want. And I don't have an image in my head. Spirituality for me is absolutely essential to my everyday living. I need to stay centered because otherwise my head just takes off, is the way I put it.
That's right. What does life lived on a spiritual basis look like?
Very average to me, like my everyday life. There's no, you know, thunderbolts and lightning and all of that. It is calm, you know, 90% of the time these days. It doesn't mean that my problems in life go away. It just helps me to face difficulties, just like every other person on the planet as a human being. I can take on challenges. I can set goals for myself. I can interact with people in a really normal way, which is completely new for me. And if I didn't maintain spirituality, then I wouldn't be able to do any of those things.
Looking back, going back to 7.5 years ago when you first got sober, or at the end of your drinking, knowing what you know now, is there anything you'd say to your younger self?
To my younger self, again, I think it's find your voice. Find your voice and don't be afraid. Absolutely, you know. I mean, my experiences, I don't wish myself not to be an alcoholic any longer, you know. It has been part of who I am and part of my journey, and it's, you know, it's had its rewards as well.
Yes.
So, you know, incredibly hard, but it's had its rewards. So I would say to my younger self, just have the courage and trust other people a little more.
Good answer. Rachel, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story with us.
Thanks, Kerry.
For our listeners, if you've related to anything that you've heard or would like some more information about Alcoholics Anonymous, you can look us up on the web at www.aa.org.nz or call us on 0800 AA Works. There are 66 meetings a week in Canterbury, so there's likely one near you. Join us next week to hear from more AA members sharing their experiences. Our show airs every Monday at 6 p.m. on Plains FM and repeats on Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. You can find podcasts of all our past shows on the Plains FM website at plainsfm.org.nz. That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you for listening. And remember, if you want to drink, that's your business. But if you want to stop, we can help. You don't have to do it alone. We will now close the show with a serenity prayer all together, as we do in every AA meeting. God.
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
You've been listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show on Plains FM 96.9.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. Oh, you're a hard one, but I know that you got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you can hurt you somehow. Don't you draw the queen of diamonds, boy. She'll beat you if